Thanksgiving and Christmas, we have a tendency to get together with families. And when you get together with families, you have a tendency to reminisce about the past. At least that's the way it is in my family. And when that reminiscing goes on, I've always noticed that wives and mothers have these unusual memories, and they start telling stories, and you think, I did what? I mean, has that ever happened to you? That, you know, they just go back years, and they say, well, I remember the time when I did what? What are you saying? Well, you know, I think that's kind of the way the people at the Last Judgment were. They said, I did what? I didn't know that was a rule, Lord. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Where exactly is that written in the Word of God? I'm supposed to do all that you said. I didn't know that was one of the rules for being a Christian. You see, we said these three parables are following the 24th chapter that tells us that Jesus is coming again. The first parable said we don't know when he's coming, so be ready. The second parable said that when he's coming, he's going to judge us for what we know about, what we have, and how we've used it. But you know, the harshest judgment comes in this last parable. Notice that neither group recognized Jesus in those other people and in those other situations. Those who were good and did the right thing didn't really see it as a response to God. And those who failed to do it didn't understand it as a response to God. That when Jesus comes again as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and judges us, he's going to judge us for the way we just generally live out our life in the world. By the things we do and by the things we fail to do. Not thinking, oh, I'm supposed to do this if I'm a good Christian and I love the Lord. You see, this Sunday in the church year, the Sunday before Advent, is called Christ the King. That all of these weeks from the day of Pentecost until today are celebrating the growth of the church. And right at the end of the season, Christ the King Sunday is trying to make a point that being a part of the church of Jesus Christ means that he rules in your life as Lord and King. Now, you know, here in America, we just don't have a lot of experience with royalty, with kings and lords and ladies like they do in England and like they do in many countries. But we know about it intellectually. But maybe because we don't know about that experientially in our society, we have more to be concerned about than people who grow up in countries like that. Because you see, we grow up in a country where we're our own person. We're free to be who we want to be. And that puts us in a little more jeopardy because we lose some of the meaning of someone being Lord and King. Now, certainly in England, they don't have really a lot of power anymore. So why do they keep that tradition going? You know, they say that the royal family, of course, you're always in trouble when you go, they say, you know, somewhere in the tabloid someplace, that really the royal family doesn't have a lot of money and is having financial problems. But they live in this tremendous palace. There's all of this pomp and circumstance surrounding them, but they don't really own those things. There are the crown jewels locked up in the Tower of London, but they don't belong to the king or the queen anymore. Why do you suppose England has kept this system of kings and queens and lords and ladies like the time of King Arthur and the Round Table? Maybe it's because they want to keep a perspective. That even though they don't function like the kings of old, who just at a whim or a queen could bring you in and demand your life of you and sentence you to death, they had that much power over your life. They could take your lands. They could take your possessions. There was a time in the English Empire back in the Middle Ages where you had the castles and the lords and the ladies. But, you know, it wasn't all as beautiful as we think of in the traditions of King Arthur, where people were vicious and greedy. That if you lived in an area and you were lord of the manor and one of your servants was getting married, then the king had a right to sleep with your wife on your wedding day. Now, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of authority. And maybe the English people keep the tradition of the monarchy alive to remember something about power, some of the power that's not so noble in their history. And I wish it was because they wanted to realize that God, through Christ Jesus, is really Lord and King of all. But that's not a part of our tradition. But He rules in heaven as He sits at the right hand of the Father. And when He comes again, there will be an accounting for each of us. Even if we're ready, even if we've used the talents and abilities and the resources we had in this life, used them well, Jesus is going to judge us just like He did those in this passage by saying, when you weren't thinking about religion, when you weren't particularly thinking about Me, how did I influence you to live your life in the world? The other day, I was in a situation with a group of people, and, you know, good people, people who know right from wrong, people, I'm sure, who live a fairly righteous life. They follow the rules of courtesy and decency and things like this. But, you know, you hear people say things that show that they've grown hard of heart, that they aren't open to the needs of people around them. They live in an isolated world. They lock themselves in their houses, and they lock themselves in their cars when they go places. And in effect, wherever they are out in the world, they've really got a security fence around them to protect them from this cruel world. And with that, their hearts have become cold. And just in the things they say, you can tell that. That's exactly the kind of situation Jesus was dealing with here. He's the Lord of all. He is the King of the universe. He knows the thoughts of our minds and the things that we hold in our hearts that are dear and the things that just don't matter to us anymore. And there's a whole hurting world out there that needs to experience His love. And He's counting on you and me to be instruments of His love and peace in the world. And these two groups said, Lord, when did I see all this going on? When did I see You hungry and feed you or not feed you? When did I see You thirsty and give you something to drink or not give you something to drink? When did I see You naked or not have enough clothing for the cold and not offer you some or fail to offer you some? When was it that you were a stranger and I happened to visit you or not care to visit you? Or when were you sick and I wasn't there for you? Or maybe I was. When was it that you were a prisoner and I visited you or failed to make an effort? And Jesus said, when you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, people in the world that I created, that I loved, that I died for, and didn't do anything that showed your gratitude to them, you did it to me. He separated the sheep from the goats. That was easy to do for a shepherd in that part of the world. The sheep were white generally, and the goats were black. It made it easy. And he put the sheep on the right hand and said, blessed of my Father. See, the right hand is the hand you use to pronounce a blessing. It was the right hand that Isaac stuck out and blessed Jacob instead of Esau. And he couldn't take that back once he put his right hand on his son's head. And the left hand was the hand of deceit and dishonesty. And he separated the sheep and the goats, not based on the rules that everybody knew about and tried to follow, but based on just letting the presence of God show forth in their life. At home, at school, at church, at the mall, when you're walking down the street or driving in your car. The little, everyday, unconscious things that says, I'm a child of God, is where the judgment is going to really come down hard. And those on his left, he said, throw them into the eternal fire with the devil and his angels. And he welcomed those who were sensitive in the little everyday things. They didn't even know he was looking for. He welcomed them into the kingdom. Jesus wants to rule in our lives. So we don't have to think about the rule book. We just live a life of goodness and love. In that sense, are you ready for his coming again? Are you with the group of people who said, the Lord's coming soon? Calvin and I were talking Wednesday night, and boy, I hope it doesn't come in my lifetime. Because if my Lord's going to judge like this, I got a lot of growing to do as a Christian to make him Lord of lords and King of kings. Do you? Let us pray. Gracious Father, when you use the outward rule book and we think of all of the wonderful things that are going to be in your kingdom, it might be easy to say, you're coming soon, I'm looking forward to it. But in this parable, if the love of God is not coming through us and touching others every day in small, simple, caring, sensitive ways in our world, we better hope the judgment day is far, far away so we can get our lives in order. So we can let you fill us so much with your presence that when someone comes in contact with us, in some way they know they have come in contact with the love of God. Lord, we want to be that kind of people. We want to let it flow naturally. We want to be generous, caring, loving people. But our own selfishness and sin gets in the way. Are we ready for that judgment, Lord? Are we living truly as if you were Lord and King and ruler of our lives. Not ourselves, not our intellect, not our ability, not our possessions, but you, Lord. Are you calling the shots in our lives? The big decisions and the small, almost unconscious decisions we make every day, hour after hour, moment after moment. Rule us, Lord God, with your love, that we might be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.